Thank you for listening to Abstract Illusions Radio. With each breath of air, gain new insights and inspirations as we explore and expose the different aspects of the human experience. Now with your host, Jennifer Hillman.
Hello and welcome to Abstract Illusions Radio. I am Christina Thompson, your host for this evening. Ms. Hillman has taken time off to spend with friends from Britain. She will return next Thursday. The topic tonight is open for anything the callers want. You can call into BBS. Their phone number is on their website at bbs.com. I'm sorry, that's bbsradio.com. And if I open up a window, I can probably find the number for you. Now, Jennifer did ask me what I was going to talk about tonight, and something that came up and has been coming up all week long is Nordic gods, with the new movie coming out called Thor that the actor Kellan Lutz is playing Thor. And Vikings are from Norway, Scandinavia, and North Europe. And also folklore. I mean, how many folklore stories have we heard that have gone down through the generations that we hear right now? Now, if you have pen and paper ready, the toll-free number to call in is 1-888-815-9756. 1-888-815-9756. Please call in. Any question is okay. And I'm going to be talking about folklore, Vikings, and Scandinavians. The Viking Age Society, I'm actually looking at a website right now. It's called Viking Kids Music. And it's actually a Scandinavian website with hysterical characters. And it says, before Vikings became Christians, they believed in Nordic gods such as Odin, Thor, and Freyja. Sacrifices were made to these gods when people wanted good fortune in battle or a good wind in their sails for an expedition. The Vikings worshipped their gods outside in nature or in the farmsteads against great halls. So, any Vikings out there, please call in. And are there still people who believe in these old gods? If you do, please call in. And do we ever attend heathen festivals today, in today's times? What festivals do we celebrate today that were started centuries ago that have crossed the ocean? So I'm going to go down here, and it says a good story. Hold on one moment. Okay. Right. Oh, okay. It's talking about 1100 AD. It's based on word-of-mouth stories. These are folklore. So I really don't know anyone that is listening. Please call it. The phone number is 888-815-9756. And so we can carry on a discussion, start the ball rolling, and callers call in. I would also like to give credit to the Viking site for sure. The total website that I was looking at is Viking, ESKIBSMUSEET.DK. Another site that I was looking at is Myth and Realities, and it's ILCARRODIFREYA.IT. And they're talking about the dark forest cats. Believe it or not, they breed these cats in Norway that they believe are see, what is the word? It stands to reason. The Bastet and the Diana Sorceress, the Papal Cat. There's a really good story here about how the Pope actually killed witches and cats because they thought that they were sacrilegious. So I'm getting a lot of Skypes going on here. Yeah, I'm answering a Skyper right now. Skyper, call in. All right, I will just read this. Unequaled cats. Okay, it says, Norway, land of dark forests and moonlit lakes, land of snow-capped mountains, impetuous torrents and icy rivers, misty waterfalls run foaming down the slopes, the deep fords are surrounded by mighty mountains and the Atlantic Ocean, with unceasingly the indented rocky coast of this long and narrow country. Norway, land full of legends, where reality and fantasy mingle, land of men and gods that keep on living through the remembrance of their deeds. As the legend has it, Freya, the beautiful goddess of love and fertility, used to travel on her golden chariot, distributing abundance and prosperity. Her chariot was pulled by a magnificent and proud couple of cats. They were the Norwegian forest cats. The cattery, Caro de Freya, proposes cats of the highest genealogy. So this is a breed of cats that are bred in the Norwegian, called the Norwegian forest cat. And to own one means to merge into a dimension of true contact with nature from which man seems to be departing more and more. Okay, Skyper. calling for anyone who has any folklore stories, any history on Vikings, any goddesses out there, and any cat lovers. So, sorceress and queens. Okay, according to some Nordic medieval chronologist, Freya was a princess of the Vanes, a people skilled in the art of magic, dwelling in the northern Black Sea, near the mouth of the Don. The ancient Tanais, and that's spelled capital T-A-N-A-I-S. From there, towards the end of the Roman Empire, this race would have migrated towards North Europe. From the beautiful queen and the sorceress Freya would descend the witches. So witches are descendants of Freya, which I did not know that. Women of Freya have matched the worship of cats. So I wonder if the witches that we see in Halloween that have the cats is directly connected to Freya, which would be kind of like makes sense. So the worship of cats, considered by their devotees to be masters and means of the pursuit of secrets in the moonlit nights. The cult of Freya caused the dissemination of German cats in the 15th century by Pope Innocent, where they were sent to the stake under the charge of witchcraft. And many of their cats died. They were committed to the flames, too. The papal condemnation probably gave rise to the superstitions according to which Friday the 13th brings bad luck, because the day dedicated to Freya was Friday and 13 was her sacred number. So Friday the 13th witches and cats, sorceress and queens, I think trace back to Freya. And you can spell Freya F-R-E-J-A or F-R-E-Y-A. And if there's anybody who would like to comment on this, please do call it. The phone number is 888-815-9756. Again, that's 888-815-9756. So, and the website that I am looking at is ILCARODIFREYA.IT, and it's under Myth and Reality for learning about Freya, Freya the cat, Freya's favorite day, and number. So there are some good stories. The Scotch cat in Nordic folklore is a fairy cat endowed with extraordinary powers, protagonist of lots of adventures written by Asbjornsson and Moe. And Asbjornsson, again, this is Scandinavian spelling. It's capital A-S-B-J-O-R-N-S-E-N and Moe, capital M-O-E. Yes, Skyper. Very good. Jennifer Hillman is back home. She should be calling in. And I want to thank you very much for staying with us for this first 10 minutes of Abstract Illusions. My name is Christina Thompson. Jennifer Hillman, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine. I hope you enjoyed your evening.
Oh, it was a wonderful evening. He is, his name is Fox, and he is from Oxford. He is going to be in Austin on Sunday. He will be in somewhere in New Mexico now. I can't remember. But if you're in Austin, go see him.
Austin, Texas?
Yes, he is traveling.
And what does he do?
He is a singer. He is a singer. He really is an entertainer. He's very, very funny.
Ah, he is a rock star.
As well. So, okay. But has a wonderful voice. He's a good, he's a good show.
Well, when you asked me if I wanted to babysit your show, and this is the, and that's how I looked at it, it's just like babysitting my granddaughter. I will stay on my toes and do the best I can until Mommy gets home, so I am so glad you got home early. What you do is amazing, Jennifer.
Well, thank you. Well, you're my Ed McMahon, so. and I actually was going to pre-record something earlier.
Mm-hmm. I've been talking about Norway, Norway folklore, Norway gods, inviting all Vikings to call in. Of course, I have a big crush on a Viking. So, and then I just learned from babysitting that Freya, her favorite number is 13. Her day is Friday, so they connect Friday the 13th to her. And cats, and her cult following are known as witches. So now I'm thinking Freya is the mother of witches. If there are any witches out there, let me know, because I'm just reading this off the internet.
Well, you know, in past life I was a witch, so I definitely know magic.
Yeah, but when I read that, I got scared and almost closed it down, because I went, oh my gosh, Freya is like the master of witches? I didn't know she had anything to do with witches. I thought Freya was for Vikings.
She's a goddess.
Okay, so what do Vikings and witches got to do together? I mean, I know this is all mythology and it's all history, but witches didn't come until what? hundreds of years later.
Well, magic has been around forever. It's just the impression of what witches, warlocks, or wizards actually do. At one time, they were actually very honored. I mean, if you think of Merlin with King Arthur, I mean, he was very much part of the whole kingdom, was very much, you don't mess with him, that's for sure. He's very, very much respected.
Huh. But isn't Merlin immortal?
The magic he is. Now he is.
Now
because he became magic.
And is Merlin real or is he myth?
Well, we're all kind of, you know, a myth if you think about it.
Okay, so we talk about Merlin as if Merlin is a real person, but Merlin is a fairy tale.
Yes, he is a real person. So is King Arthur. So is Guinevere. That whole storyline is very much real. They found physical proof of his existence. Camelot does exist. And there's been many, many books written on it.
And Camelot is Great Britain?
It is in Great Britain, yes. Mist of Avalon is based on Camelot.
Now, isn't... Okay, so... Oh, this is so crazy. All right, so the history, because we started with the Vikings, and that would have been around, what, 1100 A.D.?
You know, I can't say I have the dates down, so you have to be my eyes.
Okay, well, I was looking on the computer screen. It says 1100 A.D. But Camelot, wasn't that around, like, 100 years later?
I thought it was around the 13th. Well, yeah, 1200.
Okay, so two centuries later. And then if you go with Freya and the goddesses, and then the goddesses of Camelot, are they the same? Or those are priests? No,
well,
they're priestess. This is going to be like... History 101 for people who don't understand all the goddess-priestess connections. I know
well, it's very interesting about the goddess energy. It is only because the goddess energy is a predominant energy that is becoming alive again, that most women are really feeling they need to really understand that inner power that the goddess energy represents. It's very nurturing, but it's also very sexy. It's very feminine. It's very powerful and strong, yet very tender and gentle and compassionate. It's a wonderful balance that is now coming into women, so they understand that they may be the goddess, but they also are very much a woman. And the roles that the goddess energy is playing is really healing and moving forward the evolution of man.
And when you speak of the evolution of man, are you speaking as in humanity, or are you specifically talking of man?
Both.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because it's all linguistics, isn't it? It's all like how the interpreter understands what they're hearing.
Exactly. It's everybody's perception and perspective on a situation. I mean, right now, all the elements of past, present, and future are now combining and blending in together into a magic brew to make us whole and complete. So the many levels and dimensions, some of us were, and I know that I have been a witch. I know I have been a shaman, a holistic midwife, and many other roles within the spiritual realm. I've been a monk, I can't tell you how many times. but they're all blending together because all those essences of each of us are blending into this now moment. So we are really completely and whole within ourselves, and all the essences, all those lives and all that energy and all those experiences are now blending into that present person you are now. So it makes it a very intense energy to go through it. And if you have really funky dreams of past lives and stuff, don't be surprised. Just understand and say, welcome home. Glad you're back. Kind of bring it in. You might feel like you need to realign. Or, like Chris is really delving into the folklore.
The mythology.
And I'm sure those past essences of her are now coming back.
Well, it's freaking me out because I really didn't know who Freya was. And because I didn't know who Freya was, I decided I wanted to know who Freya was. And my favorite day is Friday the 13th, where everybody's like, oh, Friday the 13th, they get all freaked out. I've chosen that, and I chose this years ago, as my favorite day. Friday the 13th is my favorite day. And Fridays are my favorite days. And I'm like reading this going, oh, my God, that's kind of freaky. And then the forest cats, which I found out are fairy cats, and they breed these forest cats and fairy cats in present time in Norway. And then I was looking at these cats, and I went, how cool. Like, okay, on a brand-new married couple, right, if the new couple prepares a cup of fresh milk in their brand-new house, and if the cat runs to drink it straight away, that's a really good sign.
Oh, definitely. It's a blessing.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And then patrimony would be the male side, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Wait a minute. Did I say that one more time?
Okay. Are still a cultural patrimony of Nordic countries. So I guess the putting the milk down, I guess that's a tradition is what they're meaning.
Right.
Okay. Anyways, they got fairy cats in Norway, people. That's pretty cool. And then I was reading about the papal, you know, killing these witches and their cats because people were worshiping the cats. And I think it's just kind of funny that the name of the Pope at that time is Pope Innocent. And that's just ironic. Pope Innocent.
Yes. So,
you know, that's, again, it's just word games to me, but it's still like, whoa, that's just...
Well, this is all word games. Everything that's really going on is a play of perspective and perception.
And then I find out that Freya likes pigs. And on my zodiac sign, I'm a boar. So that's
yes.
Like another Twilight.
Just like I'm a cat. Meow.
Oh, no,
actually,
no.
I'm a tiger.
Wow. Are you a tiger?
You know, it's just very interesting. Even I recently was chatting with someone who mentioned a portrait of Lady Campbell. And he mentioned that I look very much like her. And reading about her, I really can relate, and I could almost really say I would not be surprised if I wasn't an essence of her in this lifetime or in that lifetime, only because she was a very aggressive woman who, very flirtatious, very much a lady's, you know, well, a man's lady, who after being kind of shamed out of society because she got divorced, caught it having an affair with not one, not two, but five men at the same time, or four men.
What?
But after that, she became a writer.
Wow.
Of the arts and of traveling, of sports. All the things that I'm going into, I'm kind of following in the same track as this woman from the 1800s.
Wow.
So it's very interesting that even...
Wow.
I even, you know, look like her.
So anyways, I was looking at the Wikia of Vikings, and it says Aberdeenshire in AD 1012. That's 1,000 years ago. That's 1,000 years ago. It's called the Viking Saga. It's a story, the Viking Saga. It's called CNUT, and it's spelled capital C-N-U-T, the Great Attack on Aberdeenshire in AD 1012. And, you know, that's just crazy stuff. So all of this stuff 1,000 years ago is coming forward in present time, and I was actually talking about the Thor movie while you were gone, and the Thor movie is actually more Hollywood and Disneyland, because what they're saying is Thor and all of the creatures of the Asgard are aliens. They're actually, that's how they're transforming it. They're saying that they're transplanted aliens. So they're actually bringing in like stuff that you hear on DBS radio on different shows about aliens and spaceships. They're actually transferring that into the Nordic mythology.
Mm-hmm.
On the new movie coming out, Thor, which has nothing to do with the original comic strip. Is that crazy?
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I was reading somewhere else that, and maybe this is where they got it. Maybe they got that information off the internet, but because they're talking about the cats and the Nordic mythology being aliens from a different planet. And then, I don't know whose show it was, but they were saying that cats are extraterrestrial beings. Have you heard that? Or was that
Yes, I actually have.
I know. Sometimes I can't tell if I dreamed it or if I read it. But I know I heard it somewhere. So that cats were extraterrestrial beings.
Well, it's because they're so independent, they're very wise. To me, dogs are ascending masters. I have learned more from dogs than I have... You're laughing, but I'm very serious.
I know, I'm sorry.
I have learned more from dogs than I have a lot of teachers, master teachers that are physically in this place. I have learned more from my dogs.
Hey, I pulled out.
I have the utmost respect for animals because they know something here, folks. They know unconditional love. They know how to give. They know how to receive. They know how to get their needs taken care of. They know how to be in balance with nature. We're the ones that are really screwed up, folks. The animals are not. Nature is very much in balance with itself. It's the humans that are, need to get back on track and realize what we're doing. Not only to the rest of humanity and the rest of this planet, but toward the individual for us. We know what unconditional love, but for some reason we're refusing to really allow it to come into our hearts again. Though the energy is coming in, we are learning very, very quickly how to do it. And that's one reason why all the past lessons...
I have to agree with you, because the backward spelling of dog is God, and if God's not an extended master,
Well, he is. He's like the ultimate one.
That's just the way my
one.
Brain thinks, It's like, all right, God and dog.
Yes.
There's like a coin with two sides.
Yes. I mean,
I know. I get way out there. I'm so sorry about that.
All right. No, it's. I'm trying to figure out, it's not that you're way out there, it's just that, right now, the energy right now, we do have some flares that are happening that are making things really intense
what
that are affecting animals.
What is up with that sun flare? That was on the internet, last week, that the sun had a great big sun flare. And I remember hearing about it, thinking it was no big deal, but then I've been, seeing a lot of the... people that I respect saying it is a big deal. Why is it a big deal?
Oh, because it messes with the filters and the satellites and the televisions and all the electronics, it messes with them. If you're finding that your computer is getting a little slower, if you're finding things a little off with your phones, with yourself, it's because of the electric magnetic field has been kind of getting this intense, in a way, radiation pushed on it. So I know a lot of people who were very, very much wanting just to crawl back into bed today and stay there. I know other people that were angry today, extreme emotions today.
And that's
other people,
you know,
good or bad.
That's from sun flare?
Yes, most definitely.
Is that science proof or is that just intuition?
No, that is physical proof.
Really?
Yeah. You go to
wow.
NASA, it will give you, they actually have some fair warnings to let you know when to prepare for it. Usually after a huge one, and we just had one that was like one of the biggest ones they've seen in a while. It usually takes about 72 hours before it affects the Earth.
Wow.
And that was like last, I think, Wednesday, Thursday, so it hit this weekend. And I know a lot of people that had kind of a lousy weekend. And it's continuing now because they are continuing to have their sun flares, and it's only going to increase. It's not going to decrease. This is something that is going to increase. So it's something we need to be able to hold the energy and let it flow through us and not attach to it, personalize it, or in a way throw it off on somebody else because we're getting it and we can kind of like bitch at other people because of it. It intensifies the need for discernment in a huge, huge way. For example, I have noticed that usually when I'm very, very empathic, usually I can pinpoint exactly who it is by the location. I am finding it more dispersed throughout my body and not a point like it used to be. Like there's certain people that, you know if it's on the right side of my head at a certain point, it's this person. If it's the temple, it's another person. And even locations in my heart, I can tell who's who. Well, that is getting a little bit more erratic because it is all being kind of equalized. So now I'm just, instead of having that pinpoint, say, oh, that must be so-and-so. Instead, I'm just getting this knowing, oh, it's so-and-so, so I don't have a direct point of the energy. It is being dispersed throughout my body. Whereas one person, I would get it very close to the third eye. Now, if this person's thinking of me, I'm actually physically shaking. My entire body is physically shaking. And
wow.
I know it's this person.
You know, I've talked to you when that's happened, and you would ask me if it was me, and I'd be going, no, and then you'd have, it was like you were surfing, like when I do an internet search and I'm surfing for some information, you were spiritually or consciously, I don't know how you do it, but you were surfing and scanning while I was on the phone with you, but you were looking for that person that was giving you that energy.
Yeah, well, it's just like, okay, it's like
giving you that side effect.
And it does, you do, you have to discern, number one, because you have to understand if it's somebody and you have to discern, do they need me to actually physically contact them? Do I need to send them love? Do I need to send them peace? Do I need to send them Reiki energy because it's a healing situation?
Yeah,
you actually
sent me Reiki healing. And
yes,
it was
I did.
Amazing. It was amazing. And I felt it, and I did. And I was like, whoa. And all I know is I just said, thank you. And I didn't even know who I was thinking, but I felt it. And then you asked me later when we were talking if I felt that Reiki, and I went, yeah! So, you know, it does. You don't even have to put your hands on that person. And I also know that you have symptoms and side effects it just doesn't matter where they are. They can be on the opposite side of the globe. They mm-hmm. can be over in Europe or Spain or Japan or anywhere. If you know that person, you pick up their energy.
Yes, I do.
And that just freaks me out that you can do that. But
well, it depends. Sometimes it depends on the connection. If
yeah.
I've heard the person's voice, it intensifies because that's the way I work. I hear people's voice. I clue into their energy in such voice. If it's just like an email, it's not quite as strong. But
yeah.
if I've met them physically or heard their voice, it definitely is very strong.
Now, how do you build yourself and protect yourself from that?
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Most of the time, I have to answer why. It's not physically hurting me. I mean, I have a friend today that I was talking to, God, your neck is really sore, isn't it? And I physically felt her neck. But as soon as she said, oh, you don't need that. And I go, no, I really don't. It stopped.
Cool.
But it gave me empathy. I understood the pain she was going through.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I do connect. I usually take on people's issues and heal them for them. So if, let's say, they had an issue with insecurity or worthiness, I would take on that for them, and they'd be healed, and they didn't even know what had happened. The energy today is everybody is taking care of their own issues. I don't fix anybody. Everybody fixes themselves.
Right.
I will give them things to think about, things to relate to, ways to heal it. But as to actually take it on like I used to, oh, no. Hell no.
Yeah,
don't do that anymore.
You drink salt water to ground yourself.
Yes, I do.
And I avoid salt because I have high blood pressure.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I don't think the doctors, if you just take a pinch
mm-hmm.
of sea salt,
sea
you can
salt.
Also do it with baking soda.
Oh, baking soda, okay.
Vinegar.
Vinegar is even better.
So
vinegar grounds you. I didn't know that.
They will ground you. It's also the intention.
Is that because of alchemy?
Sure. It's a whole combination. I give the intention that this liquid is going to ground me. And all energy that is not for my highest good flows through me into Mother Earth and
cool.
returns to me a higher vibration. That way, they need to kind of flush their system. And I've even done this to you. And many times, and I know I have,
yeah.
I will literally call you and say, Chris, I need to ground. And
yeah.
I'll just start rambling.
Yeah.
And you're great for that.
Yeah.
And I don't mean any, you know, in many ways I do shield you, but you also know, oh, she's in that mood. You automatically put up a shield so you don't take it on.
I don't even know you're doing
actually,
it. I'm like, okay, she's in that mood.
Because I know you're way out there, like almost like a whirly whirl going around in the cosmos. And I, even though I don't physically lift off my chair, I can feel it, kind of. And it's like, okay, I'm going to anchor.
Yeah, and you do, and you put up the shield, and it's like, part of me feels very bad, but sometimes I just need to get that energy. It's almost like an excess energy that I'm getting in. You know, it is. Sometimes I pick up somebody else's energy, and it just overwhelms me. And if the grounding doesn't do it, if it's sending it back doesn't do it, if cutting the cord doesn't do it, then I need to verbally either dance, scream, talk it out, ground myself in another way. I generally call someone and say, okay. I mean, I called somebody today and I said, I need you to slap my face. Now, if it was his girlfriend, she wouldn't know exactly what I meant. And he's going, what?
Because you're not talking physical slap. You're talking a verbal...
I'm talking, shake me up so I can move this energy in a different way.
Ah, I got you, like a salt shaker.
Right. It's like, make me laugh.
Yeah.
Let's change, you know, this energy that I have by talking through it. And that can do it, but if you're working with somebody about this, like a good friend or something, you have to let them know what you're doing. Otherwise, if you're just in a bitchy mood and you start yelling that negative energy, guess what? If they're not prepared, they will be in that bitchy mood.
Yeah.
And that's just not right. It's like Chris, when she gets in one of those states, she just sleeps. I can't sleep. I've got too much energy.
Yeah. That's exactly what I do. I go to bed. It doesn't matter what time or where I'm at. I just go to sleep. I shut down. I go, I'm sleepy. And it is. It's just like a clock that you have to wind up to work. And all of a sudden, it's like the wind don't work no more. And clunk, I'm out. And I will be, it feels almost like a coma. You could set off a fire alarm, and I'm not conscious.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
And then you
move.
Just go to another space and time. Well,
I do, yeah. It's gone.
Because of my work, then they want me grounded. They want me awake. At times, I have meditated a lot more lately. Like, I'm probably meditating at least 3 to 6 hours a day now.
That's a long time. What's the longest downtime that you've had processing download? 6 months?
6 months. When I had Valley Fever, I literally was in bed for 6 months.
And during that
meditating and studying, I was working on me the entire time.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that. So you can function and still be downloading.
Oh yeah, I'm constantly downloading.
I didn't know that. Because when I download, it hits me again like, clink, there's an off button and on button, the off button, clink, and then I wake up and I'm real thirsty, mm-hmm. and I'm hot and I'm like, ugh. And you told me I was downloading. Downloading what? I don't know, but...
Think of it this way. When you're downloading, it can be the very fact that you're getting the information to reconnect with that past life about the Vikings.
Oh, God,
about the goddess energy of Frida. Of all of that stuff, they're giving you the inner clues that are already inside of you. They're kind of waking up that part of your DNA so you can integrate it and align it within you. Because Vikings are very strong. They're very mystical. They're very wise.
I found a figurine statue on the internet, and it looks just like my oldest daughter incarnate.
I'm telling you, it looks just like her
in the mm-hmm. face and the nose and the eyes and the hair and the legs and the arms. And I was like, oh my God. That was a figurine of Freya. You know, and there's different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Freya has red hair, Freya has blonde hair. But this one was my oldest daughter. And of course I right clicked and saved it. In fact, I'm thinking about buying it because it's like she modeled for it.
Well, if you get the Doreen Virtue Goddess deck.
I don't have that one. I have the angels.
In this, with the goddess, she is one of the goddess.
Oh,
and she's the one that says, be bold, go flirt, go have fun.
That's my oldest child. And then I've got my animal cards. And, in fact, I have them sitting here. I was thinking if you didn't show up, I was going to offer to do some animal card reading. Since I knew I could do that.
Well, we still have, 15 minutes. We'll see how it goes. And it's just very interesting dynamics how the past lives, the present, and the future are really all combining. And that has, I wrote a blog today or yesterday, it's all blurry now, about that and valuing the very fact that the energy today is really making you kind of click into that unconditional love, and it really valuing each moment with a person, being a friend or even a stranger who gives you a smile, and valuing that without trying to control it. And letting it flow. If you want to spend time with that person and they agree, that's great. That's an agreement. But sometimes there's a lot of people, one's holding on to the other for, like, for money, or they think it's some kind of security deal, or they think the person loves them. And there's all these reasons why they're trying to hold on to that person, but in reality, they're holding on to nothing because it isn't real. Money is not real. It's an illusion. It's just energy. So to stay in a bad relationship because of money. I also wrote recently about there were some relationships that they're holding on to them because they're trying to save face. You know,
oh my God.
It's much better to know that person, or they are trying to do it because in the future they think this person is going to be really successful, so they need that connection because it might help them in the future. But they really don't give a damn about that person, but they know the potential and they know they're going to get there. They have the fire to get somewhere really big. Why not be on the coattails?
Let's give an example of that. Who would be a good example of that in present time? That oh, I know who it was.
Oh, there's lots of movies about that.
Yeah.
Swim with the Sharks is a great movie about that.
Brad Pitt, when he was married to his first wife, and I can't remember her name, Jennifer Aniston. When she married Brad Pitt, she went through the roof in her ratings. Who's another one? Now, although she's making a comeback now, but I think it's because of Adam Sandler.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Who's another one?
Who is, that's a very good example, but Swim with the Sharks is all about the Hollywood paradigm of how it's who you know that gets you anywhere. I mean, you can think of a lot of movies about staying together because of the kids, you know? Ordinary People, even. Ordinary People's another one that they were holding on because they felt an obligation to stay on to something. And it was all an illusion. And when he finally stood up and said, this is an illusion, this isn't working, this isn't a family, and actually healed the family.
Yeah. Did you see The King's Speech, the movie?
Oh, God, it's beautiful.
Is it? And did you see Black Swan?
Yes.
Who's winning?
Oh, God. Personal choice. They're both amazing films. Amazing, amazing
acting. Actors, yeah.
The acting is tremendous.
Which one would you buy for your private collection?
Actually, I'd buy both of them. I really can't choose.
They are neck and neck.
I mean, I was just talking to at the performance today.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a woman who is a producer, and she also does makeup and films. And we were actually talking about the Black Swan and how much digitized work is in the films now.
Huh.
There's only, like she actually said, there was only one scene that Natalie Portman's makeup was actually on her face. Otherwise, it was all digitized.
Wow.
She could tell.
What about Colin Firth in The King's Speech?
Oh. He was tremendous. That really was one. That was up there as one of his best roles. One of the best roles that I've seen him. Actually, it was a couple years ago, and it's called The Single Man. And I read an interview with him, and that role still sticks with him because it was so profound.
Yeah, yeah. So, two good movies.
Excellent movies. I haven't seen 127 Hours. I hear that's a very good film, though. I'm not sure what else is out there.
The Fighter with Matt Damon.
Oh, I haven't seen that one, so I can't say.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. Actually, I haven't seen Black Swan, and I haven't seen The King's Speech. I always wait until they come on cable. That's the way I justify my cable TV. It's like, all right, if you have cable TV, you're not allowed to go to the movies.
You don't need to justify it.
I know, but I do. It's like, whatever. You're right. It's my own homemade soul.
You know what? Cool. You deserve to have cable. You deserve to go out of your house, too, and go to a movie. But I also know you don't like to go to a movie by yourself or get out of the house much by yourself.
Yeah, I don't like going to the movies alone.
I don't mind it. I mean,
I don't mind traveling alone.
So it's more fun with people, but it doesn't stop me if nobody wants to go with me. You can always meet someone.
Yeah, you know, somebody to hold the popcorn while I eat it. But no, it's been so long since I've gone to a movie. I can't even remember what the last movie I saw. That's how long. Oh, wait a minute. I know what it was. I was in Colorado. So that would have been, June of last year. And I went there with my daughter, and we saw the third movie, Twilight, when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time I went to it was an $8 movie, which just kills me because it's $8.
Well, that's why I always go to the matinee.
$10 for the popcorn. It was like two of us went in, we bought popcorn, we bought a big bucket of popcorn, and two soft drinks, and I think it cost like $30.
Yeah, it's expensive. That's why you do without the popcorn. Or you just,
However, the experience was priceless.
Well, to me, there's certain films that, you've got to see. It's like, if you haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia on the big screen, you haven't experienced it.
Oh, see, that's maybe what would be something really good, is an old theater screen showing the old movies on the big screen. Wonder how that would work.
Well, they actually do. I know they have several up in Phoenix.
Well, the Valley Art Theater plays a lot of indie.
Well, there's places, and I do think they have one, and it's actually a dinner theater, so they actually serve dinner and show you an old film. Here they have independent films at the Loft, which I've absolutely loved going there, and you can become a member there. But there's a lot of options for seeing old films, and a lot of them are coming back on the big screen. You just need to look around. And it is really worth seeing Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid on a big screen, or The Sting, or Casablanca, or any of the films that were known for their cinematography, like Lawrence of Arabia. Those are just so phenomenal of an experience of film that makes a huge, huge difference. That unless you have a big screen as big as the theater screen, you won't have the same effect. You just won't. Because it is like you're truly out on the Sahara Desert.
So
you're out there. You're fighting along, and it's just incredible.
I think everybody needs to get ready for holographic movies, because I actually have been dreaming about it. And I dreamed about it about 10 years ago, and it was another dream I had. And it's the same scenario. I'm in a sunken living room, sort of like a pit, and there's two benches that are crescent-shaped, where they probably sit like six people on the bench, and it's padded and comfortable, it's loungy. And in the center is a crystal tabletop, and all of a sudden this hologram comes up, and it doesn't matter where you look at or what view you're from, you're literally watching this holographic drama or comedy or whatever entertainment it is. And depending on the size of the cube, that's the size of the character. So you can have a big holographic screen, or you can have a small holographic screen, but you want the entertainment one, because then it would be just like watching, take you right back to Mount Olympus, looking down, watching the the drama, you know, from Mount Olympus. It was just like that, but it was all crystal. It was all crystal. And it was so high HD, high definition. I mean, it's like you could reach down and pick up the character like a Barbie doll, only you know, they were fleshy looking and they had free movement because they're actual people acting. But when you put your hand through it, it would just create a disturbance in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that is coming, people. I promise you.
Oh, definitely.
I saw it 10 years ago, and I saw it again.
But with that, Chris, believe it or not, it is about time to wrap up the show.
It is. It's 10:56 p.m. according to my computer screen.
So,
and,
with this, I want to thank Chris Thompson for stepping in while I got myself together before joining the conversation.
Yeah, I don't know what I was going to do. I would have just started reading poetry. And my next one was to go into your blog and start reading your poetry. I said, okay, I'll
well, you always want to do that. Anyway, so this is Jennifer Hillman, and if you're curious, my blog is jenhillmanreflex.blogger or blogspot.com. I usually post it on my Facebook page. If you're not on there yet, please come and become my friend. I would love to connect with you. Also, just to heads you up, I do a lot of coaching and a lot of reading. I am available for consultation. Give me an email at jen@jenniferhillman.com if you're interested in getting a reading or doing some coaching. It is a big, big time of intense energy, that's for sure. So with that, this is Jennifer Hillman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.